Tonight, why don't you give a hand of clap tonight? Amen. So indeed, we're leaning in these hands. Amen. Let's sing that song, Fill My Way Every Day with Love. Amen. Amen.
Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way that was gone, leading straight to the land above. Oh, wait. thunder, let me go. All the while, with a song and a smile, oh, fill my way every day with love. Oh, soon the rain will be over and I'll try, will no more, but abide in my hope above, or above. Let me sing and bless again all the way to the shore. Oh, fill my way every day with, oh, you fill my way, fill my, oh, every day with love. For as I walk with the heavenly, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Oh, fill my way every day with love. Oh, fill my way, fill my, oh, every day with love. Oh, as I walk with the heavenly, oh, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Oh, fill my way every day with love.
Amen. Amen. How many want to be in His bosom tonight? Amen. As we had last Friday, let's sing this song. Oh, my loving brother, when His world is on fire, amen, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Amen.
Oh, the judgment day is coming. Oh, what an awful, oh, day to be. Oh, Christ forever, who is my refuge. Oh, rock of ages, left for me. Oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, oh, don't you want God, don't you want His bosom to be your, oh, that's how it is, our Lord. Oh, in the rock of ages, oh, rock of ages, clam for me. Oh, at the sounding, oh, of the trumpet, of the day, worldly pleasures all forsaken. Oh, forever, oh, pass away. Oh, no, my loving brother, oh, when the world's on fire, don't you want His bosom, your pillow, oh Lord, hide me over in the rock of ages, oh rock of ages, glad for me. Oh, poor sinner, who will be crying, oh, for them wounded, they'll never see. On fire, oh, don't you want God, don't you want His bosom, your pillow, hide me over in the rock of ages, oh, rock of ages, clam for me, oh, oh, my loving brother, oh, and the world's on fire. Oh, don't you want God, oh, to be your pillow, hide me over in the rock.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's worship Him tonight. Let's sing the song, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." Amen.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, O Lord, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, O Lord, do not pass me by. My Lord and Savior, my Lord and Savior, 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 oh, will you hear my
me at thy throne of mercy.
Oh, let me at thy throne of mercy. Oh, let me find a sweet
trusting only in thy merit, or I am trusting only in thy merit.
Oh, would I sing thy faith? Oh, yeah.
God bless you, saints, this evening. It's good to gather in his name, in his house. We just really want to welcome Sister Erica from Lithuania. God bless you, sister. She's come to sojourn with us. God bless you richly, sister. It's a privilege to meet the sons and daughters of God. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Let's just read from verse 1 up to verse 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all of thine iniquity, who healeth all of thy diseases. Amen. What a benefit and what a blessing that it is to us. Let's bow our heads, a word of prayer. Father, we come unto thee to thank you once again that we can come by the way of your precious blood. Father, that way that you've opened unto us, just wanting, Lord, to yield unto thee upon this night. Father, to come by the way of your grace, to come by the way of your mercy. For, Lord, we desire just one thing, and that is to know the truth. Amen. Father, because your truth will set us free. Father, we know it from experience. And that's how we've come to wait upon thee once again for your word. We thank you for worship. We thank you for opportunity to sing unto thee in worship. We thank you for prayer. We thank you for opportunity to express ourselves in prayer. And we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for the holy scriptures that are able to make us wise unto salvation. We thank you for the message of the hour. Father, we thank you for light in evening time. Thank you for shining forth thy truth. Thank you for demonstrating, Lord, your word before us in this age. Thank you, Father, for revealing yourself, Lord. Now, Father, we pray you'd forgive our sins and our trespasses and anything that would come between us and thee. That you'd, Father, Lord, Father, pardon our transgressions. Forgive us for our presumptuous sins, we'd pray. And grant us that mercy and that grace, Lord, that, Father, you'd lead us and guide us into that place where God deals with the souls of his children. That, Father, you may instruct us. That you may, your word may be a light, a lamp unto our feet. A light in a dark place, that, Father, you may lead us and help us and feed us and equip us upon this night. Praying, Lord, for the people, your saints, your sons, your daughters aren't here upon this night, even as it's been prayed with all these transport issues, Lord. We just commit it all up unto thee. Bless your people and be with them upon this night. We thank you for our sister that's come to be with us, Lord. Father, we pray that your hand would be upon her. We pray, Lord, the fellowship of thine spirit in her soul, that she'd feel at home, Lord, in this, as she had in this strange land, as she'd sojourn with us in this season, we pray. Amen. May you bless her, Lord, is our design. Father, as we continue in your word, be with us now. Father, we look into you, calling upon your name. Bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Saints, you may be seated in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was just trying to find one other scripture in here. If you just give me 1 second in my concordance. What you wanted to have a look at this evening, just taken, that's the scripture the prophet read. I really thought maybe we could just look this evening and maybe on Sunday in the other realm, but at the message's demonology. Now, the prophet, he preached demonology. I think it was back 1953 or so, if I remember correctly. And he preached it in two different services. And you know, the thing with the prophet, like I always say, you've got to be careful you don't stumble over the simplicity. Because the prophet speaks so simple about things, but we know the spiritual principles that he brings about are just so incredibly deep. Because the prophet, having only a 7th grade education, but he'd be preaching from experience. You know, I mean, I don't think there's any person outside of the Lord Jesus Christ himself who ever understood demonology better than the prophet. Because there was nobody who ever had a ministry since Jesus himself, the God-man, the God of the prophets. There was never a man who dealt with demons and in the realm of demonology like the prophet. So if you want to understand demons, I mean, what good is it to get a commentary of somebody else? Or, you know, you just go to the prophet, because the prophet, as he teaches in this message, he understood these things because of his dealings with demons. So when he would understand, now sometimes he's going to not maybe use exactly the right term medically, no, because he's a seventh grade education. He hasn't been to medical school. So he's going to use a simplified term, but he's matching an experience of a spiritual reality with physical things that are taking place in the bodies of people. And by bringing those two things together, the spiritual realm and the natural, through his experience and bringing it into the scriptures, friends, it's very powerful.
Amen.
You know, it really, really gives the devil very little chance to hide, because the prophet isn't speaking from secondhand information. He's not telling us what somebody else taught him or what you know somebody else's opinions of demonology was. But he's telling us from the prayer lines, from face-to-face conflict with demons hundreds and thousands of times in the presence of the angel of the Lord. First, by taking people by the hand and seeing the effect that those different diseases would have on his hand. He'd take a person's right hand and his left hand, and it would be such a strong reaction, as we said the other day. And then he started now to be able to interpret those different the dots as it appear on his hand would swell up, as his watch would stop, as that gift, as that anointed gift would come in contact with that particular type of spirit life that was now had taken control of the physical realm of a person. You know, there would be like such a reaction and a contest take place. And the prophet could learn now to discern. At first, he said he wasn't so good at it because certain diseases seemed so close to other diseases. But after a while, he really got to know it. He could tell a person straight away, you know, that you've got a cyst on your left ovary. You've got this, you've got that. You know, and then you would see the people, you hear it on those messages. And the people, it's just so powerful to them. And many times they wouldn't even know themselves. That time when he took his wife by the hand, when Mrs. Malachi was there and that brother Malachi, and then the prophet was demonstrating that, and he took Mrs. Malachi's hands, and she'd been to the doctor, and the doctors had no idea what was wrong with her. Then he took her by the hand and he said, "Straight away, it's milk leg." And they didn't believe it. The doctors didn't. And then a few days later, she had milk leg. And she was so amazed, Sister Malachi. And then the prophet says, "Okay, let me show you that. I'll put my hand on my wife." And he put his hand and he says, "You put a cyst on your ovary." You know, and she didn't know it was there. The doctors didn't know. Then the prophet had to tell the doctor when it came time now, for whichever child it was to be born, to say, "Take a look in there. She's got a cyst." You see, you know, and the doctors didn't even know. Nothing had manifested itself, but there was a life force which was now had found some sort of a foothold, had found a bit of a stronghold that if it was going to get an opportunity, it was going to start working from that entrance that it had found into the natural side of the Christian person's life. You know, so the prophet, he really, really understood those principles so well. And I get really offended by people who expect the prophet to be able to speak all the scientific terms. I mean, he didn't have time to go and spend a lot of time learning the science of this world and all of its contradictions and its confusion. You know, he was so busy, you know, ministering to suffering humanity. He didn't have time to go and learn all the exact terminology. So whether he doesn't express dimensions exactly the way that science wants, yet you go to science itself. Science doesn't even know how many dimensions there are. Science, each scientific field contradicts itself. But I think it's a great insult, you know, for a person to look at the prophet like that. Now you've got to look to say, what is this man's call? What is his commission? He's like John the Baptist. God calls the prophet, separates him from all of the systems of man, educational systems, so that he wouldn't get contaminated by some man's opinion or some tradition of what some man said 100 years ago. So God called the man from his simplicity and for a man from the wilderness like Elijah was. But friends, there was never a man who had such a perception of truth. Now sometimes he wouldn't quite find the right term to put it across, but the revelation and the perception of truth that the prophet has, it was so practical. Because here was a man that could break into that realm of the unseen. You know, he could see, like we saw Brother Bosworth say, he'd be struck through and through with the unseen. And he would see the realm of the demons. And he speaks of it, how those demons would follow him to his hotel room. And you know, then he would say, not just some psychology of something, he says, but there'd be a form there, a dark shadow there. He says, it'll be challenging you and you'll speak to it and it'll speak back to you. You know, it's like in the days of the Bible, because these things have never changed. You know, so there was never a man who was better qualified to teach on the spiritual realm apart from Jesus. You know, because Jesus was the Word made flesh. And now we had the revealing of the Son of Man through the ministry of the prophet. So you find the Son of Man ministry coming down, the Logos coming down once again and manifesting through the life of a prophet. And that's why you find there was such a manifestation. I remember when we were listening to those messages, Praise and Darkness, years back. And the brother was saying that. He said, it's so true. He said, you know, when Jesus came on the scene, you go and have a look in the Old Testament, there wasn't very much spoken of about the manifestation of evil spirits. You'll just find it in Saul, the witch of Endor. You'll just find it in, you know, Micaiah when he sees a lying spirit coming down. But there wasn't so much that you find there. But the moment Jesus comes on the scene, because here's the pillar of fire come down, there just comes an explosion in the spiritual world. There's such a reaction in the world of darkness because the light has come. And that's why now there was healings, there was demons crying out, there was, you know, epileptic fits, demons throwing children down before him. And wherever Jesus would go, there'd be these voices speaking to him and so forth. It was because the Word, the anointed Word in its fullness had come. Amen. The Logos himself had come down. Yes. And that light coming right into the kingdom of darkness had caused such a reaction. And it was the same in our age because the same light has come back down once again. It's the same Logos. It's the same Jesus Christ. The same yesterday, today, and forever. So you've got to expect to see those kind of manifestations. You've got to see something opening up that wasn't seen for 2,000 years because something's come back on the scene. Maybe you look on Sunday when the prophet explains why it has to be like that. When the prophet says that this great manifestation, this conflict now, that when, you know, the pillar of fire comes down and he puts this gift in the prophet and it causes such an upheaval in the spiritual realm. There's such a contest and a conflict that takes place. There's such a conquering of the powers of darkness. And the prophet says that this is just a foreshadow, of Christ coming to cast the evil one out and coming and taking his possession on earth. Yeah, so what God was doing in a measure by delivering people's bodies and delivering people, you know, in their spirit realm and so forth, it was a foretaste. Yes. It was a shadowing. Yes. It was a type showing the age that we're living in, that very soon the same Michael's going to come and kick out this Lucifer once and for all. You know, so it just really shows the age that we're living in. So when the prophet comes now to start speaking about demonology, I'd say it's something which we need to take some time to study. Amen. Remember when the prophet spoke on the healing of the soul, yeah? And he says, look, you can't get anything from God unless you understand what it is that it's for you, you know, how to approach it, and how will you know that you've got it? You know, so it's the same, surely, in the healing of the body. Amen. You know, and that's why he takes the physical realm of demonology the first afternoon. The next afternoon, he takes now the spiritual realm. He starts speaking of insanity and religious demons and all that. So there's both of these sides now that the prophet starts to speak about. You know, it's such an important thing because you have to know your enemy. Yes. Yeah, you have to really know, like if you've got sickness in your body, if you've got a demon power oppressing you, maybe psychologically, maybe there's insanity runs in your family, maybe there's some sickness that runs in your family, maybe there's, you know, there's some affliction that's come upon you, it's so good to understand what it is that you're up against. Because when you can really see the enemy for what it is, he's no more this vague shadow anymore. No, he's no longer just the something that you don't understand that you're trying to compete with. But when the Word comes, that's why Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, and when now the light starts to shine now upon who this is that we're fighting against, it starts to put everything in its place. Then you start to realize, what is this thing that's fighting against me? Where did it come from? What rights, what authority does it have? And then you start realizing yourself as well, your rights and your authority. So I thought maybe it's good to take a little bit of time to look at it that way, the way that the prophet did, so that we can really see clearly what it is we're trying to achieve here. You know, that we can really build it up like the prophet will build it up and say, saints, let's really understand our enemy. Let's study our enemy here. Let's see how he works. Let's see this realm that he wants to come in. More down the line of divine healing this time. Not so much the healing of the soul, We had a great blessing during the youth meetings, and Brother Howard built it up over four services, building up now the approach, the promises to the healing of the soul, and then to know how to know that your soul has been eternally healed. Now, maybe it would be good for us to spend a little bit of time in the realm of the physical realm and the realm of the spirit, the realm of oppression and depression and all these kind of things, because this is demonology. This is where the realm of healing, a different kind of healing is needed. But in order for us to be able to possess it and grasp it and maybe face up to it the right way, we need to recognize and understand exactly what grounds it is. We need to understand what is the battleground, who is the opponent that we're fighting against, you know, so that we can really maybe get a better understanding of these things. So on page 4 of demonology, he starts saying the very first thing is, the first thing, what a demon is. You know, so to have a look at a demon, you know, because you'll never understand, you know, some of us, we say, I've got a migraine headache, yeah? Or you say, I've got this allergy that I got from before. You know, friends, you know, some things definitely are just in a natural realm. But the vast majority, anything which is a sickness, there's a demon behind it. There's a spiritual force behind it. And, you know, sometimes we accept things that we shouldn't. You know, because the world tells us, you know, that just happens. And that's just something you inherit. Or that's just something that, like the prophet has taught, that comes in the human grab bag. You know, it's like a lucky dip. You know, just bad luck that you got that. But that's not it. You know, we need to first understand that these are demon powers that we are fighting against. That this is a very real contest that we're engaging in with these things when they come to bring affliction upon us. You know, that's the first thing, what a demon is. The prophet says, you hear so many people talking about a demon. Now, a demon, a devil, comes from one word. In the English, it's called a tormentor. So a demon is a tormentor. That's the verb. That's the description of what a demon is. He may have all different kinds of names, what kind of demon that he is. But the essence of what a demon is, his motive and his objective, in whatever realm he can work inside of your life, is he's a tormentor. And the prophet says, in the English, it's called a tormentor. Now, it's from the dictionary. To torment means to cause to experience severe mental or physical suffering. So the prophet's going to take both of those things. The first afternoon he goes to show physical suffering. This physical torment that the devil brings. Then the next day he goes to show mental. He shows it in the realm of the spirit. Demonology in the spiritual realm. You know, but it's the same demons, but each has been assigned a different task. Each has got a different role to play in this greatest battle that's ever fought. But the how you know this is a demon is by its effects. It torments you. It's a tormentor. And to torment means suffering, affliction, distress, pain, anguish. No, so something that gives you anguish physically, something that gives you distress, something that holds you down, you know, something that frustrates the purposes of God. That's a tormentor. Or it may be spiritual. You know, a depression that makes a person depressed. Suicidal thoughts, suicidal tendency. That is absolutely demonology. That's demonology. That is a tormentor. And it's found an entrance and it's managed to get itself to a place that it's starting now to exert real influence in the life of a person. And that person can be a Christian or not a Christian. Makes no difference whatsoever. No matter how great a Christian you are, that's got nothing to do with it. These tormentors are opportunists. They just look for an opportunity. You give them an opportunity, or they find an opportunity. They find an opportunity through your genetics, through something you inherited from your parents, something you grew up, went through when you're growing up. You know, they're just looking for an opportunity. And once they find the opportunity, they come to manifest themselves now as tormentors. To bring anguish, to bring distress, to bring pain. That's the objective and the aim that they have. The prophet says, a fellow that torments is a devil, is an evil one. Demons are tormentors that torment us. Oh, friends, let's never forget that. Amen. You know, the moment you start to think like that, you start saying, I don't want this anymore. Yes. You don't want to wake up in the morning and have torment.
Yes.
You know, worrying about your future, worrying about what the day is going to hold, because there's this great opposition, there's this great something that's afflicting you inside of your life. You want to get to the stage that you overcome that tormentor.
Yes.
No, because a tormentor, he's managed to get an opportunity inside of your existence, inside of your time space.
Yes.
He's managed to get inside and he's going to stay there as long as he can.
Yes.
Until you realize, until something takes place that you evict him from there, he's going to stay there. And he doesn't just stay there the way that he is, how he got in there. He's going to try to increase and grow and manifest his presence and his influence in a greater and a greater way. Now that's his aim and that's his objective. He's not just going to stay that kind of a way. He's a tormentor. The prophet says, now there's demons that come into the soul of men. Now, he's really meaning the spirit. This is 1953.
Yes.
So in those days, he would speak of the soul. But he's really speaking of the spiritual realm. They come into the soul of men. He said, I'd say this. Demons that come into the soul is something that torments the soul. So if you're tormented in your spirit, your mind. You know, some people are fine physically, but they have no rest.
Yes. Amen.
No, their mind is troubled. There's a darkness. There's an oppression. There's a depression. There's nervousness. All those kind of things, friends. Those are tormentors.
Yes.
It's tormenting you. It's devils.
Amen.
Yes, they take advantage of the weaknesses of our mortality. They take advantage of, you know, like I say, things you inherit from generation to generation. But in the end, it's demons.
Yes.
It's a tormentor. It's coming to work in that spirit realm of men. Something that torments the soul. Many times you see a person maybe insanity. Yet, they may be a converted person. Filled with the Holy Spirit. And yet be totally insane. My. So this is a real good example that he's given. That a person can be absolutely right with God. They can be filled with their spirit. But the devil, the tormentor, takes complete control in the other realms of their life. So the devil can take a complete control of you physically, of your health. He can take you prisoner in your health, yet your soul is absolutely redeemed. Because the prophet is saying someone can be totally insane. Because the tormentor somehow, through maybe some trauma, whatever that it is, has managed to gain access into the spirit realm. And has managed to take possession in the spirit realm of a Christian, a believer. Yet that person's soul, the devil cannot touch. It's not his realm. It's not his jurisdiction. To a believer, he has no jurisdiction in your soul. He never has a jurisdiction to your soul. Your soul has been redeemed. It's predestined. It's sealed with the Holy Ghost. The prophet says the only way the devil can get in there is come the same way that you went. That's the only way. Otherwise, you have to come out to him. But he can't come into you because you've been redeemed. The prophet says totally insane. That has nothing to do with the soul. It's a tormentor, something that torments them. My, it says now, all sickness comes from the devil.
Amen.
And it's good to make it clear again, friends.
Yes, that's right.
We're living in a scientific age. They're going to tell you all these lies of science. Yeah, well, they're going to misconstrue truth. But all sickness comes from the devil.
Yes.
All sickness comes from the devil. God is not the author of sickness. God sometimes permits Satan to put sickness upon you. Yeah, like with Job. Yeah. Or as a whip, the prophet says, to bring you back to the house of God when you disobey him. But sickness in its beginning come from the devil. Why? Because sickness is the perversion of health. God gave you health. The devil perverts what God has created. So he perverts your health now. And now you don't have health anymore, now you've got sickness.
Amen.
Sickness in the beginning come from the devil. Can you imagine a person who would believe that God, our Heavenly Father, would be the author of such a thing as sickness and death? Well, no, he isn't. God permits death because of disobedience.
Yes.
He permits it. As one writer said, All that death can do, God harnesses it to a buggy. It pulls us into the presence of God. You know, see, even if the devil pulls one on you and shortens your days, if you're a believer, all he does is he pulls you into the presence of God. That's the worst that he can do to a believer. If you're redeemed inside of your soul, he says, but the word he gets onto, it's speaking about death means separation. Now, the next principle he shows in here, he goes to show now the interaction between the spiritual world and the physical. You know, that's how these things work. We know how he speaks of dimensions, that we in this particular dimension of time, above us is the Spirit of God, is a realm of angels, and going on up now into the very presence of God. He says, and below us now, there's the spirits of those that have departed without, you know, receiving Christ. And then there's the realm of demon powers, and there's the realm of Satan himself. And he says, we are in the middle here. And this is the great contest. And the things that take place in this great contest, though it's a spiritual conflict, they manifest in this, in the physical, in the natural. You know, so much taking place in the natural. The prophet could break through and see in the unseen and see the cause for these effects that you see. You know, and that's why in those early days when science really respected the prophet, you know, and Mayo Clinic and all the different things which they would say, you know, it would have been such a benefit. Because the prophet could bring the spiritual side, and medicine, you know, science could bring the physical side, the symptoms and, you know, the actual mechanics of what's taking place. And bringing those two things together, you'd have a very powerful combination. If you had believers now, like we have Sister Lydia, you have doctors and people like that. You know, people that understand what takes place in the physical realm. But you've got to trace anything taking place in the physical realm, you've got to trace it back to its source. It starts in the spiritual realm. You know, so you can't just treat the physical realm. You've got to go back and see, but what was the cause? Where did this thing come from? It comes from the spiritual realm. And he starts off speaking about Levi was in the loins of Abraham. Yeah? Hebrews 7 verse 9. Levi was in the loins of Abraham when he paid tithes to Melchizedek. So even before Levi was born, when he was in germ, in seed form, he was spiritually speaking, he was in Abraham. Yeah? So he existed spiritually before he came on the earth physically. Then in due season now, that seed had passed through Abraham to Isaac, yeah, to Jacob, and then it found in due season a bedding ground. Yeah? And now, what was spiritual, a spiritual reality, Levi, who already was existing in God? He was already a reality in the spiritual realm. Now it unfolds itself down, and now you find that seed starting as a single cell. It finds access to a bedding ground. Yeah? It gets the bedding ground of its mother's womb. And then that single cell, through meiosis, mitosis, all those things that science will tell you upon, when those the seed and the egg come together, everything starts from such a small little beginning. But it's not the natural that began it. It was spiritual before it became natural. There's a certain life force. There's a certain something that causes that cell to start to manifest in a certain way. And because it comes from God, those cells, when they start to replicate and build, the stem cells and all the different things in the human body, it starts to edify. It starts to build up. It starts to bring order. It starts to move every cell into its place. That which is supposed to be for muscle becomes muscle. That which is supposed to develop into bone. You know, everything starts to work. And as those cells divide, it forms a man. It forms a baby. Because the life force that's coming from is God. God is not a perverter. The prophet says, yes, the devil can pervert it in the womb. Look at the Zika virus and all these things. His baby is being born. That's the devil bringing perversion in the womb. You know, those kind of things. And you find babies born crippled and all these kind of things. That's the devil. Something's got in that process because of the fall of man. Because of the fallen condition of humanity. Because of unbelief and the conditions of time, the environment that we're living in and so forth. Now the devil takes an advantage of those things. And he comes to pervert them. But it starts off first. The prophet says, now he gets onto a real good principle. He says, Your souls were made up before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
When God created man in his own image.
Amen.
He says, not a man in his own image.
Yes, 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 yes.
He says, but man in his own image.
Amen.
So when God created Adam and Eve, their theophanies, yeah? He created you there as well.
Amen.
That's when you were formed in his image.
Yes. Amen.
When he created man in his image. That's the beginning. That's the body that's waiting for you. So that's when God, so the first reality is the spiritual reality. Before it becomes flesh and starts to manifest itself in flesh, it's got to start in the spiritual realm first. There's got to be a life force, an entity in the spiritual realm before we can start seeing anything taking place in the natural. And that's the principle he's going to teach us because of demonology.
Yes.
Then we'll understand demonology. He says, man. He says he made them male and female before he had ever made a man in the dust of the earth.
Yes, yes, yes.
He says, I wish we'd have a chance to take that. But when God made man in his image, he was a spirit man. Yet there was no man to till the soil. Then he created man out of the dust of the earth. You see, now that life found cells and tissue and so forth that it could express itself through. Now, the prophet, he says, we're speaking on the life side now. He says, then we'll go and look on the death side. So on the life side, when God is working, God uses this principle. Yeah, and God brings now life into flesh, and that life now causes that flesh to develop, start to express potential, start to express itself. And now Satan, his objective is to stop that potential. He doesn't want to see life being expressed, your life being expressed, so that you in this physical, in this dust, you fully express your potential. So as part of this great contest, because of the fall, because now we subject unto these things, whether we're redeemed or not, this body is not redeemed. Satan looks for an opportunity that he can gain an entrance either into your physical realm, into your spiritual realm, but his aim as a tormentor, he wants to stop you reaching that potential. He wants now to start expressing his potential. That life force of death, that death force, that demon power, whatever it is, it wants to express itself as well. But it needs cells, it needs some way to express itself. And that's where the great contest is going to come in. Because we have life in us that wants to express itself, and now the devil gets a grip inside of our humanity, and he wants to express himself. And if we allow him to grow and give him too much opportunity and authority, his life will extinguish your life.
Yes. Amen.
And you will never achieve what God has called you to achieve.
Amen.
And that's why demonology, it's a real contest here. It's life against life. It's life against death. That's what it is. But it's a reality of what we're fighting against here.
Amen.
There's something that's waged a warfare against you. That he is determined, that demon, for you not to prosper.
Yes.
He is determined for you not to be able to express what God put you on this earth to express.
Amen.
He is determined that you won't get your 3 score and 10 if he can help it. If he can prey on our ignorance, my people have perished because of lack of knowledge.
Amen.
You know, if we can't rise up and expel him,
yes,
he's going to take advantage and we're going to be saying, but hey, this brother's only 41 years old and we put him in the grave. Yet his soul is redeemed. It's nothing to do with the soul. But it's the devil. It's the tormentor. It's the great conflict between death and life. It's the great battle for expression. One wants to express life, to express order, to express potential, to express God in a man. The other one is a perverter. He wants to steal, he wants to kill, he wants to destroy. That's what he came for. He wants to express himself as a tormentor as well. So we find ourselves in that battleground now of demonology. You're the battleground. So the prophet says he created man out of the dust of the earth. And then he goes on and he says some very good things about evolution, but you don't want to get onto that. So the prophet says, yes, sir. If you're born of the Spirit of God, you're a Christian from that time until you go away. You're immortal with God. That's right, if you're in the church. So to the born again believer, the anchor holds.
Amen.
Though the ship is battered.
Yes.
There's an anchor that holds in the soul.
Amen.
That's the realm of deity.
Amen.
That's not the realm of demonology.
No.
But your body and your spirit, it's a different thing. Neither of them are redeemed.
Yes.
They have to perish and pass away. They cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So Satan now, he focuses his attention there. And this is the greatest battle that's ever fought. And it's fought in the human mind, but it wants to express itself when this opportunist gets an opportunity inside of your mortality, inside of your human, fallen human mortality. He's going to do whatsoever he can. So the prophet now, he speaks of that life side, and this is how God wants to express himself. Then he says, now, let's talk about the death side. Because the principles hold the truth just exactly the same. How could a person in that estate, sealed away into the kingdom of God, yeah? How could a person in that estate, in that kind of a condition, that you are as eternal as God is eternal inside of your soul? The prophet says, how can a person like that, yeah, ever be sick?
Amen.
He says, because your body is not yet redeemed.
Amen.
Your body is not redeemed. No matter how good you are, no matter how saintly, how holy, how much Holy Spirit, that's only in your soul. So all of our spirituality, all of those things, it's just in the realm of our soul. And we know that as believers. Because temptation comes in. No, depression comes in, discouragement comes in, misunderstanding comes in, confusion comes in, sickness comes in, disease comes in, death sets in. But it's to do with that other realm of our mortality. Those are the two realms of our mortality. The prophet says, your soul is not yet completed yet.
Yes, amen.
He says, it's just got the blessing.
Yes.
The promise of God, which is the earnest of our salvation. So, your soul is not yet clothed upon with immortality. Your soul is clothed upon with mortality. So that's where now, friends, you can really understand the devil, why he studied and he saw exactly where the battleground should be. He knows exactly where to wage warfare at. And once your soul has been redeemed, when those people would come before the prophet and the prayer lines, he would tell straight away, you're a Christian. Because there's a light around you. Because there's a welcoming spirit. You know, the devil has no access to that anointed realm of the soul of a believer. But he'll come and play in your mind. He'll play in your spirit. He'll come and play inside of your human mortality, this body, as much as he can, if you give him the opportunity.
Amen.
And as long as you allow him to stay, he's going to stay.
Yes, yes.
And he's not only going to stay, but he's going to develop.
Amen.
Yeah, he's going to establish himself deeper and deeper and take more and more control. That's why the prophet says you have to destroy your enemy before your enemy destroys you.
Amen.
That's the conflict. We've got to destroy him. We've got to recognize who he is. We've got to recognize what his agenda is. We've got to see, what is this thing trying to do inside of my life? It's trying to hold me back from expressing myself fully as a son or daughter of God. This is a tormentor. This is in opposition to the purpose of God. And we've got to raise up and you've got to cast that thing out. We've got to wage warfare against that life that is trying to take your life. We've got to wage warfare against this. The prophet says we've just in our souls got the earnest, the down payment of our salvation.
Yes.
So when you receive salvation, when the Holy Ghost comes into your soul, in spiritual reality you meet Christ, what is it?
Yes.
It's a proof,
yes,
a down payment of the resurrection.
Amen.
Because inside of your soul you've already been resurrected.
Amen.
And the devil will come many times and wage warfare against you spiritually. And every time that he thinks he's got you, the power of the resurrection is going to resurrect you again. It's a down payment of the resurrection. Every single time. So why can't we expect the same in the physical realm? That whenever the devil comes and says, I've got him now, I've got her now, why not the power of the resurrection coming to set us free once again? We've got to expect it, because if he does it in the soul, listen how the prophet expressed it. He says, now, your soul has the earnest of your salvation. But now, if we had no earnest of our resurrection, no divine healing, then I'll have no assurance or nothing to prove to me there's a resurrection. So how do you know there's an eternity? Because you are a witness in your soul. How do you know there's eternal life? Because it's in your soul. How do you know there's going to be a resurrection? Because he'll come and resurrect you. A temporary, an interim resurrection. Whenever the devil says, I've got you now, and it's not yet your time, you have every right to call him on the scene to come in the power of the resurrection to give you the earnest of the resurrection now. And then just as much as, listen how he explains it so nicely. He says, just like if Christ doesn't live in my heart, if we just believe in psychology, friends, if we don't believe in meeting Christ in his power, meet him in a real way inside of your soul. If we've just accepted, you know, let's put up a hand and you've accepted Jesus and it's some psychology. Yeah. Listen to what he says. Just like if Christ doesn't live in my heart, if I have to take it from some kind of psychological thing back yonder, if I have to believe something like that, I'd be a little bit skeptical of it. You have room then to doubt. You know, if you haven't yet received the power of the resurrection in your soul, you're going to always be questioning. You say, will I really ever come out of the grave? Is it really eternal life? But when that eternal life has struck you in a real way, in the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your soul, you know for yourself, I know my Redeemer lives. Amen. You know. You'll never be skeptical because you experienced it. Amen. And that's what the prophet's saying about divine healing as well. He says these things, and that's why we'll see it in this age. Why? When the Logos himself comes down, look at what took place. Look at that great manifestation in the prophet's meetings. Cripples, people, no eyes, receiving the eyes and all those kind of things. Friends, what does it testify to us? The resurrection. The resurrection. It's a foretaste. It's the forerunner. It's the earnest coming on the scene to say it's the time of the resurrection. And he came and he displayed the power of the resurrection physically now in all of those great things that were seen. Now, the next thing he gets onto now, so he's speaking about it's the earnest, so we should have an expectation. He says, what starts the sickness now? So he's tying these thoughts together. He says, now, what starts the sickness? He says, now the first thing, it's a spirit before it becomes a disease. It's a spirit before it becomes a disease. And friends, if, like I said, if only medical science would accept that. That is, they're not, it's nothing to contradict the disease. A cancer, tuberculosis, epilepsy, you know, leprosy, all these kind of things. But it's a spirit before it becomes a disease. So the spiritual reality always precedes the natural reality. So when you've got something in your body, some affliction inside of your body, it didn't start in the natural. It started in the spiritual. It's a spiritual warfare. It's a demonology. He says it's a spirit before it becomes a disease. Just the same as you were a spirit before you became a human being. But to show that it's a demon spirit, look what you were. Look at that spirit that came from God. When it comes into mortality, it brings order. It brings something to express the glory of God. It brings the human body. But look when these things, cancers and all these kind of things, deformities, that proves what kind of a life that it was before that has now managed to find itself some way to express itself.
Amen.
Because it doesn't build up, it breaks down.
Amen.
It doesn't heal, it destroys.
Amen.
So you can see straight away from its characteristics, from its attributes, this is demonology.
Amen.
Because a tree is known by its fruits. No matter what you want to call it, it's demonology.
Amen.
It's a demon power of sickness that has come to afflict you. It's a tormentor. That's what it is. It's come to wage warfare against you in the realm that it has access to. Your natural realm, the realm of your spirit. And it's going to wage warfare every time it gets an opportunity. Every single time. So this is what starts the sickness, same as you. He says, if I take your body down this afternoon, you made up of a bunch of cells held together. Now, someday them atoms, he says, them cells will be destroyed if Jesus tarries. You will go on back. Then your soul, when it returns, those atoms will gather together again and bring you back forth again. You know, so there's that side of it. He says, but now, when a man gets past about 25 years old, he finds a few wrinkles under his eyes. Gray hairs coming on. It's going to be because death is after you.
Yes.
And friends, let's never forget that. Every single day of our life, death is after
yes.
us.
Yes.
And when sickness comes in, let's not forget that death is after you.
Amen.
And you've got to give it the name for what it is. It's death.
Amen.
It's death. Death is after you. And one of these days, it's going to take you. You'll get in a corner here, and God will get you out of that corner. You'll get in this corner here, and death will almost have you, and over there. But after a while, it'll get you. But then, what death can do when it takes its full toll, when it's done all that it can do, death will do everything it can, but you'll end up coming back the same way that you were.
Amen.
Now, that's to a believer. You know, that it doesn't matter. When death gets you, you're going to come back again.
Yes.
And you're going to be in perfection. And you're going to be back as you were in the days of your youth. But imagine to the unbeliever now. Now, when death gets you in the physical, and you're dying of cancer, and then finally that life that multiplies those cells and forms that body, that now wages warfare using the resources of your body against you. Imagine when that life now, it takes such a control, that demon power, it manages to express itself through the multiplication of cells, a life causing the multiplication of cells, that manages to build itself into something that in the end completely extinguishes. That life extinguishes your life. And then your soul isn't redeemed. Oh, friends, it's the saddest thing to think about. Because torment doesn't finish here then.
Yes.
Because the devil can afflict you like Job, but he had no torment in his soul.
Amen.
You know, you have peace with God.
Amen.
Because you know all is well between my soul and my Savior. But imagine coming right to the end of the journey there. And your soul hasn't been redeemed. And now this life is extinguished and pushed out of the body. Because of this demonology that's gained access. And then that life of yours, that soul goes out unredeemed. It goes into the realm of torment. It goes into that devil realm, the prophet says. Ah, friends, it can't go anywhere else. And its torment doesn't end. There's just a fearful looking forward to a judgment and fiery indignation that shall devour the adversary, it says in the Bible. It's a serious thing to think about. Friends, we should really appreciate the Lord for His salvation.
Amen.
We should never forget His benefits of what He's done for you. He says, but now, let's take it down. You came cell after cell after cell, but it started with one tiny little germ. When He says germ, is meaning a cell. So it started with one cell. And no matter what sickness, what disease that you've got now, it started with one cell. It started somewhere. Something got an access somewhere inside of your mortality. If it's cancer, it started with one cell. It somehow managed to infiltrate one cell. And then it started to multiply itself. That demon life starts to multiply itself. He says, that's the first little cell accumulates on top of a cell. He says, now, I've taken you down from every piece of you, down to this one little cell, but I haven't found you yet. So if you break you down right to every single cell, we still haven't found who you are. It's the same. You can take that tumor and you can break it down into every little cell. You haven't found the cancer yet. You've just broken the body down. But the actual thing which we call a cancer isn't there. Just as much as we can take every cell of yours, but that's not who you are. That's just your abode. And that tumor is just the abode of that demon spirit. That demon power, that growth, that tumor, that migraine, whatever that it is, that something in your nervous system, that HIV, whatever that it is. Remember when you looked at that time with the virus? And they never understood to say, but a virus is just proteins. Simple proteins. Just a little bit of proteins. The simplest things put together. But it has an agenda. They said the doctors, medical science, cannot even determine yet whether a virus is alive or not. Yeah, because you can't see any life. It's too simple. But friends, it knows what it's doing. It knows exactly where to go to destroy you. That shows there's an intelligence somewhere. That shows that beyond that natural, there's a spiritual realm. And this natural is a manifestation of something that started in the spiritual. It's the devil. That's what it is. And science will get the electron microscopes. They'll break it all the way down. But they can only go so far. Because they can't see the life behind that thing. They can't understand the principle of life. That's what the prophet says. He says, one tiny little germ. He says, but I haven't got you yet. Now, I'm going to take that little cell apart. Now, where's you at? Where's your life? Even going down beyond. But now, what about a cancer? Now, God gave you your life. Here you are today. How did that cancer get there? Let's see what that cancer is. Let's take him apart. He's a bunch of cells too. Did you know? Tumor, cataracts, any of those things are cells. They don't have no form. We'll see that. They just grow anywhere. Sometimes tumors are lopsided this way, long and oblong and everything. They have no form because they're after a spirit that has no form. You see, when God made us in his image, friends, God ordained us to be in a body that had a form. But a demon power, because it's a perverter, it's not a creator, it can't make something in a form. It just makes a perversion of something. It's just whatever. You know, it's just a multiplication of cells, a growth, something that starts to spread and something that starts to put forth its tentacles, whatever that it is. But the prophet says it doesn't have a form. He said, but it's growing, growing, growing. It's eating. It's sucking your life from you. It's living on your bloodstream. Cataracts take the mucus of the eye and grow right over. Covers himself over and shuts your eyes off. Tubercular, a little small germ, nothing to the size of it. But the size has got nothing to do with it. An elephant and a chigger, one of those little bugs, they all start from a cell the same size. Just depends on the life behind it that's going to determine what it forms into from that one cell. And some of them take body form. Some never does. Some never goes into cells. Some become spirits and torments the soul. My. He says, we'll get to that part. That's what he preaches the next day. Oh, friends, this is demonology.
Amen.
Imagine the warfare that we're in. That's why we have to put on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
This is spiritual warfare. It manifests itself in temptation. It manifests itself in sickness. It manifests itself in depression. Manifests itself in insanity. Manifests itself in things that speak to your mind. In that realm. But you've got to recognize your enemy. You can never overcome your enemy unless you recognize that it's your enemy. You can never. He says, now, friends, I'm not telling this. This is what I said at the beginning. It won't take much longer. He says, now, friends, I'm not telling this from some kind of a psychology. I have dealt with demons for years. And you know that. It was very practical, experiential, spiritual understanding the prophet had.
Amen.
No one else had that understanding. Who else could operate in that realm? Nobody else. How many times did you see the prophet? Like we said the other week, I listened this week to quite a number of different prayer lines. That's all that's happening. The prophet says, this demon here, it's crying out. There's a dark streak. It's calling out to that one over there. Yeah? He says, it's calling out to that one there. And he says, lady, you've got the victory because I can see that demon is walking and it's crying. It's been pushed out. It's been evicted. It's been told you're not welcome here anymore. You have no right. You have no authority here. You're squatting in that which doesn't belong to you. That's what it's been told. It's been pushed out by faith. It's been pushed out by a spiritual energy rising up in a believer to expel it from its body, whatever kind of body that it was. He says, friends, I'm telling you, I've dealt with demons. If you only knew this thing after the service is over at night, what goes on sometimes, you don't know. Remember, when you come against a spirit, you better know what you're speaking about. Don't just stand there and carry on because it ain't going to do any good. But when actually a demon has to obey you, he'll recognize it. And what did the prophet say in church ages? We read it the other day. It's the revelation of the word that gives you authority over the devil. That's why the devil hates revelation. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's how the prophet had to teach it to us. He says, when actually a demon has to obey you, he'll recognize. It ain't how loud you holler. It ain't how much oil you put on. It's what's back here that he'll recognize. Friends, when that glory of God is in your soul, if that deity is dwelling within the veil, And the prophet said to Billy Paul, said, Billy, if you don't want to have problems in your home with your wife, you need to learn how to express, allow the Holy Ghost that is in you to express himself. I think on some of these things, we've never really learned to express ourselves, to allow that Holy Ghost, that deity in us, to express himself against these things. But friends, that demon, it looks in that spiritual realm, it can see. The prophet would look and he would see light and he would see darkness. He knew these people are believers because there's light. Those demons, they see that glory. They see that indwelling presence of the Most High. That great is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And they know that. And when you can catch that revelation, the prophet says, and stand like that. Oh, friends, he can't. He has nothing that he can do to counteract spiritual revelation. Because spiritual revelation gives you authority. And then you can speak and he knows he has to listen. He has to listen. When actually a spirit has to obey, demon obey you, he'll recognize it. It's what's back here that he'll recognize. It's the truth. Jesus just said to him, come out. Remember, the disciples had been kicking and twisting and trying to cast him out. And why couldn't we cast him out? Because of your unbelief. The boy fell and had the hardest fit that he ever had. See, they recognize authority. So when they came into the presence of Jesus, they would cry out. Jesus, you Son of the living God, have you come to torment us before the time? Please, don't cast, allow us to go into the swine. Our friends, that same one is living in you. That same one has commissioned you. That same one's put a call in your life and has put a call in my life. And those same demon powers are going to try to stop us from reaching that potential. They're going to shorten our days if we'll allow them. It's like Gideon, like we said. He didn't realize the authority that he had. He didn't realize in the sight of God, in the eyes of God, who he really was. He was a mighty man of valor, but he needed to start to express it. He needed to start to flex his muscles, and the faith muscles started to grow. Then he started to realize, but these Midianites are more scared of me than I am of them. That's what he started to realize. Gideon, as he started to follow now what the angel of the Lord was leading and guiding him in. See, they recognize authority. Look at those boys down there, the sons of Sceva, yeah? Those vagabonds who saw Paul casting out devils. They said, we can do the same thing. We can cast out devils. So they went down to a man that had epileptic fits and said, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. There's no authority in secondhand revelation. No authority. You have to have your revelation. I have to have my revelation. They were coming with a secondhand revelation. But Paul had his own revelation. And that's why when Paul would speak, come out to that demon power that was in that spirit of divination in that girl, that demon came out. Second, friends, Matthew chapter 16. Yeah? Yes. Upon this rock will I build my church.
Amen.
Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Yes, who do men say I am? You are the Christ. Who do you say I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. But my Father which is in heaven, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail.
Yes. Amen.
It's revelation, friends.
Yes.
It's revelation.
Amen.
The prophet says, them same demons live today. Sure, there's a lot of fanaticism. This is in the church. There's a lot of fanaticism in the land today called divine healing. But that's got nothing to do with it. By their fruits you will know them. And that's what the devil tries to bring all of this kind of a confusion. But there's real, genuine spiritual truth.
Amen.
And that's what the prophet was standing for. Then he starts to speak now. We'll get onto this and finish with it. He starts to speak. How do these things get in? He speaks about cancer, for example. What is that fellow, cancer? What does he represent? He's a scavenger. He represents the vulture. He eats dead things. And a cancer comes from a bruise mostly. We know that. It comes from a backslidden cell. So it finds some way to get in. A little cell in there becomes backslid. Huh? And this demon gets started and he starts growing. He starts to multiply cells. He's building a body. Just exactly like your baby begins in your womb. Cell on top of cell. Cell on top of cell. Just, they have no form of nothing. Yeah? Just a spirit that grows anyway. Cell on top of cell. The first thing you know, you begin to get weak and you feel sick. And a person will go to the doctor, and the doctor will take all the medical tests, and that's all fine. But friends, it's demonology. One little speck, and he says, somebody cuts off your hand. Doesn't mean that you die. Yeah? Certain parts, cut off some skin, it'll grow its way back. He says, the same with that cancer. He says, if they don't get every little speck when they operate, that thing's going to grow again. It just needs that starting point once again. That's the determination in these kind of things. This is now notice, the doctor calls it cancer. We'll finish with this thought. But God calls it a devil. Look at today. Where did the word cancer come from? Medical term, a crab, something that keeps spreading itself out. But every one of them comes from a germ. Starts as a cell. And that germ has to be a body. And before it can be a body, it has to be a life. And before it can germatize and make more cells, it has to be a life. Is that correct? Now, where did that cancer come from? It wasn't on you here some time ago. Maybe it's on you now. Where did it come from? It's another life, different from your life, living in you. That's a good one to stick on the fridge. It's another life. Different than you, living in you. And friends, that makes a believer very uncomfortable.
Amen.
Because I don't want anything else living in me.
Amen.
This is my turf. I don't want something else to come and live in my turf. That's why if it's there, I'm going to seek everything that I possibly can. Every spiritual resource, every spiritual revelation. I'm going to focus my guns. I'm going to focus my warfare and say, no, no. I'm going to destroy this enemy before this enemy destroys me. Because I don't want another life living in my life. A scavenger feeding off my resources, weakening me down. So I can't express what I'm supposed to as a son and daughter of God. I can't be in his house. I can't be in his service. I'm being held back by another life that's waging warfare against me. That's demonology. We've got to fight against these things. The prophet says it's another life different from your life living in you. And it's tormenting. That's how you know it's that it torments you. You'll be wishing, I don't want this anymore. I'm tired of being in this condition. This thing's weighing me down. This thing's burdening me. This thing's taken away the joy of my salvation. This is taken away the vigor, the strength that I want to use for the glory of God. A tree is known by its fruits.
Amen.
By its very attributes and manifestation and work, you can see what its agenda is. This is something waging warfare against you, against your call, against your purpose in this life. And surely if God has put us here for a purpose, we have every right to expect
yes.
Him.
Yes.
If we call Him on the scene, if there's something in the line of duty, if there's something holding us back from expressing what He's called us to express, we have every right to call Him on the scene. Because the battle is the Lord's. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but powers and principalities, the rulers of this current darkness. Let's just look at a few scriptures before we close. The prophet says, doctors call it cancer. God calls it the devil. He says they call it epilepsy today. Why epilepsy in the Bible? Jesus called it a devil. Let's look at a few. Luke 13:16. Just once again, just to build it up from the scriptures. I know I'm not saying anything new tonight. It's just trying to really reinforce things that we already know. Luke 13:16. Let's read it from a little bit before, verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, verse 10 of that same year. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. That's what God calls it. It's a spirit of infirmity. And that's what we need to call it. It doesn't matter if the doctor calls it schizophrenia. Doesn't matter if the doctor calls it. That's all medical terms for the physical manifestation side of it. Or in the spiritual, the mind of a person. But the life behind it, it's a spirit of infirmity. Behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. And look how it manifests itself. And was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. That thing had bound her. And when Jesus saw her, he called unto him and said to her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her. And immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. And said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite. Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham,
Amen.
She was a daughter of Abraham, but for 18 years, the devil took advantage until she came into the presence of the messenger of the hour himself.
Amen.
And then that demon's time had come. Because she wasn't ignorant anymore.
Amen.
She said, no, 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 this isn't just my back. This is a spirit of infirmity.
Amen.
This is a life in my life that is feeding on the resources of this God-given life that God gave to me. She came into the presence of Jesus. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound. Lord, these 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day. Oh, friends, don't we want that? I want to be loosed from my bonds.
Amen.
Don't you want to be loosed from your bonds? These spirits of infirmity. Let's look in Luke 8, chapter 2, just a couple of chapters behind. Luke 8, verse 2. It says, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities.
Amen.
Some was psychological, some was mental, some was physical. And when they came into the presence of Jesus, they were healed of the infirmities and the evil spirits. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. My seven devils. What about Job 2 verse 7? Let's just read it to some scriptures again. Job, the prophet says, God calls it a devil. Job 2 verse 7. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Sometimes we like we forget. That's the devil.
Yes.
It manifests in boils. But it was the devil.
Amen.
The life force behind those boils was the devil.
Amen.
It doesn't start in the natural, it starts in the spiritual.
Right.
And then if it can get an opportunity to get into a cell so that it can manifest itself, whatever class or type or category of spirit that it is, it'll start to manifest itself in that kind of a form. What about Matthew 9, verse 32? It's just good to read it in the Word, friends. Because we're living in a very scientific age where people think they know better than Jesus himself. Matthew 9, verse 32. And as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. Doesn't matter how much the doctors have looked at his throat and looked at, it's something with your vocal cords, you know, it's something you inherited from your father. When it came, Jesus said, thou spirit of infirmity, come out.
Amen.
And then the man spoke.
Amen.
And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitudes marveled, saying, it has never been so seen in Israel. And then the Pharisees sort of say, cast out devils through the power of the devil. Let's look at two more. Mark 9, verse 17. Mark 9, verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I've brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. You see, those people that understood in those days. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth him, gnashes his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, but they could not. He answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that they said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come unto his disciples, the disciples said, why couldn't we cast him out? My, it's quite a thing. Okay, I'll just finish with that. Listen to what the prophet says as we close. He says, now they've polished his name up and called it epilepsy, but he's a devil. And Jesus said, "Thou devil, come out of the child." It's exactly. Now, epilepsy goes on to show it can be caused from kidneys and that, which is true. I went and looked it up. Now, notice then. So, that cell sits there. It's a devil. He's building a life. He's growing. He's becoming greater and greater. He's got one duty to do. That's to take your life. That's what the devil sent him for. To cut your days short of 70. Our friends, when these things come, there's an aim. There's a motive. It didn't just come from nowhere. It just didn't come for no purpose. It's that same wicked, evil power of the devil who studies you. And especially when he sees the glory of God come into your soul. Then he looks and he searches for the opportunity. And then whatever realm that he can find, whatever entrance that he can find, he sends that particular category, that particular kind of a demon force, that particular kind of a life that when it gets into a cell, it can manifest itself in that kind of a form. And he starts to manifest himself. Oh, friends, the devil is wicked.
Yes.
The devil is evil. That's why Jesus says he's come to steal, to kill, and to destroy.
Amen.
He says, but I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly.
Amen.
Let's finish with Mark 16. Let's just remind ourselves, friends. Mark chapter 16. Verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's stand, saints. Let's come to a time of worship. We close. We continue on by the grace of God on Sunday. The prophet says, know your enemy. And train for the contest. He says, because there will be a contest. Let's recognize him for what he is. And let's look unto the one who gives us the authority over these things as we worship him.
Satan has to flee. Oh, in the name of the Lord, oh, though Satan reigns, oh, we shall not be defeated.
Faith in the Father, faith in the Son, faith in the Holy Ghost.
Faith in the Father, faith in the Son, faith in the Holy Ghost. These 3 hours, demons will tremble and sinners away. Jehovah, can anything shake? Oh, faith in the Father and faith in the Son, faith in the Holy Ghost. These 3 hours, oh, demons will tremble.
Max, would you come close for us in prayer? Let's sing one more breath.
We'll sing the song, Only Believe. Only Believe.
Only Believe, yeah.
Only Believe. Only Believe. All things are possible. Only Believe. Possible. Oh.
only believe, let's sing it once again. Oh,
only
believe.
For only believe. Oh, all things are possible.
We believe every word.
Amen.
We believe that, Lord, in your name, all things are possible.
Amen.
And Father, even as you said in our name also,
yes,
Lord,
Lord,
all things are possible, O
yes,
God.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
Father, we thank you, the Lord, your word had exposed the enemy to
us.
The Lord, knowing that we walk in the flesh, but we don't war against the flesh.
Yes.
And the Lord Jesus, we wrestle not against blood and flesh.
Amen.
But against principalities and powers,
amen.
Spiritual wickedness in high places.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we thank you for the exposure this evening.
Amen.
And the Lord, we thank you, the Lord, you have shown us that we are more than conquerors, Lord.
Amen.
And Father, tonight we refuse to accept, Lord,
yes, Lord,
anything the enemy will tell us, O God.
Amen.
We
yes.
claim back our power from him.
Amen.
And the Lord Jesus, from tonight, Lord, we will stand against anything the devil brings
yes,
to us,
Lord.
That
Amen.
We see him as someone who bluffs.
Yes.
And so, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we humble ourselves to you.
Amen.
The Lord, the Holy Spirit, O God,
yes.
will always fight for us, O God,
Amen.
And stand for us, O Lord.
Yes.
And Lord Jesus, as even, O God, we have seen every type of sickness
Amen.
And diseases, there are spirits behind.
Amen.
But Lord, we know we have the Holy Spirit, O God.
Yes.
And so tonight,
Amen.
We commit ourselves, Lord, into your hands.
Yes, Lord.
From every child here
yes.
in this church.
Amen.
Oh, to every youth and to every
Amen.
Elder in this
Amen.
Church, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of Jesus
Amen.
Christ,
yes, Lord.
We come against these powers,
Amen.
Principalities and wickedness in high places.
Yes.
The Lord, we bring them under the blood of Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
We bring them unto the obedience of the word of God.
Amen.
That is has the power behind it, O God.
Yes.
The Lord Jesus. We know that, oh Lord, the enemy has no place.
Yes, Lord.
And we are not going to allow him any place.
Yes, Lord.
We will also have to fight him, oh God.
Yes.
So Lord, grant us that faith, Lord.
Amen.
It depends all upon our faith, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And tonight our faith has been raised, Lord.
Amen.
And we lift it up, Lord, against Amen. All these enemies, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
Even as we are living here, we know he's out there.
Yes.
But Lord, when he sees us, even as they saw you coming, they shout
yes.
and cry,
Amen.
Lord, let the same be. Because we know we are going
Amen.
By your name, oh God.
Yes.
Your name, Jesus Christ, be our banner.
Amen.
And when the enemy sees us, they have to run away, oh God.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, as we commit our journey back, Lord, into your hands. Father, bless every family. Bless
Amen.
Every home.
Amen.
Grant us journey mercies, Lord.
Jeez, Lord.
And Father, Amen. Even as we meditate upon this great revelation, Lord,
yes,
we
Lord.
Pray as we come on Sunday to hear
Amen.
More from you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, let's keep these words of God as we get into our closets and
Amen.
Begin to, Lord, to lift
yes,
our own souls
Amen.
Up, Lord,
Amen.
Against all these works of the enemy.
Yes, Lord.
Father, once again, we want to say thank you for tonight. Bless us, Lord, as we go. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray with all thanksgiving. Amen.
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 God bless you, brother. Thanks so much, brother. God bless you richly, brother. Thanks so much, brother. Let's dismiss as we sing one, if you have one for us there, brothers.
Amen.
God bless you.
When the battle is over, we shall wear a crown. Amen.
Amen.
Soldier of the cross and fall, lover of heaven, and shall I fear to
Wear a crown.